Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so fourth and final hour of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Our man, Mike Deakle. I love it. Love it. Georgia and Vanderbilt coming up Saturday at 7:30. That means a 3:30 start for the tailgate show. And then it's on to Baton Rouge the following Saturday as the Dogs take on LSU at 3:30. David Johnston, Sam Franco along with you, and former Georgia head coach and College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan. How big of a break is it? I don't know if it's a huge break, but to play them at 3:30 in Baton Rouge, coach, as opposed to playing at night, because that's what they really like.
You know, you got to feel like it percentage-wise, from what everybody says, playing in the daytime is an advantage, because – I know going into that stadium, you know, I've only played there like twice, but it's just a different experience. Just getting into the stadium's hard enough. The last time we played down there, we actually had had the escort taking us into the stadium. So you blowing past all these red lights and everything, and we got hit going through an intersection. A guy didn't see the policeman, and fortunately, he wasn't going very fast, but he hit our bus.
Oh, wow.
And I told DiNardo before the game, I said, you'll do anything to win this game. And a guy on a kamikaze pilot coming through there hitting our bus. And then you go in, it's just an interesting – I've never been mooned as many times as you are when you go into that stadium. And men and women mooning you when you're going in there, giving you the finger and all that. But – it's just the home field advantage that they really feel like they got. And you got to give Coach O a lot of credit. I mean, they put that program back together since that Troy game last year. They've just been on fire. And we'll just have to talk about that next week, because I don't want to be accused of looking forward to that game. But certainly playing at 3:30 to me is an advantage. And the other advantage is when you got all these night games around the country – you're really fighting for TV exposure. And I think when you got that 3:30 game, 2:30 Central, you know, the whole nation's going to be watching it on CBS. Yeah. And it helps you with recruits. I mean, we're in on some really top-flight players in Louisiana. I mean, when you look at that Emory kid, the running back, and then good all-around, all-purpose athlete, you know, to go in there and get two players of that – magnitude really speaks a lot, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people looking at that game recruiting wise.
Well, it's definitely the game next Saturday at 3:30, and you know, I guess this weekend you got like LSU Florida at 3:30 and Clemson Wake Forest at 3:30, and really the only other one in the middle of the day is Ohio State hosting Indiana at 4:00. But you know, like you said, there's so many games at night. Get that 3:30, it's huge.
Okay, we got one at 11 o'clock Central, 12 o'clock Eastern with OU in Texas.
Yeah.
Now, going to be a lot of people in the Donnan family watching that game. I think I'm going to be the only – my wife and I are going to be the only two Donnans not at the game. They're going to all go, and it's going to be great for them to go as a group, and they'll have a good time down there.
Sooners -7.5. What do you think?
You know, I really don't know how good Texas is. I mean, you just look at the fact that they lost to Maryland. But since that time, you know, they have beaten TCU and they've beaten USC, and they went on the road and played last week without their offensive coordinator. Kind of an interesting situation. The guy got an infection in his elbow and had to be hospitalized and treated because it's really life-threatening, infection. So They really didn't generate much offense against K-State, but that game is like, I know this is generic and coach speak, but you can throw out the record in the OU-Texas game. I mean, you got to remember that most of those kids on Oklahoma's team are from the state of Texas. I mean,
yeah.
And it's just such a big hoopla game. I mean, it's just like our game with Florida, you know, except you got 250,000 people there that don't even give a flip about the game. They're there to ride the rides and eat corn dogs, you know. I mean, they're at the fair.
Sounds like LSU. the corn dogs.
I'm just saying now, they got deep fried Oreos, which are pretty good.
They're delicious.
Oh, yeah. No question about
that. I
knew
you'd know about those.
Oh, but, yeah, for sure. Sounds good. Hey, Coach, we'll, like I said, we'll talk about the games coming up this weekend. I did want to ask you, you were talking about A&M, or excuse me, not A&M, but Texas being without one of their coaches. What happened with the UMass coach, Mark Whipple? Because we're going to be seeing him in a few weeks.
Yeah, you know, just they played Ohio U, which is a good team, you know, and they have a hard time getting a schedule. I mean, you look at all the teams they play around the country. I mean, they play a lot of different D1 teams. They're D1 too now, but Mark Whipple is a good coach. I mean, he was a really good coach. He actually coached for the Steelers at one time when Bill Cowher was there, and he did a good job at Miami as assistant coach. And, you know, after the game, he used some bad language. He said the officials raped us, and you can't use that word in today's society. And he's been suspended for a game. And without pay, and he should be. That's just a stupid statement. You know, you can't even say anything about officials anyhow, but to say that in today's, in any kind of society, but, I mean, that was not very smart by Mark. But
are they one of those schools where you look at and you go, they would have been better off to stay as an FCS school?
More than likely. But, you know, they got a pretty good backdrop of players they can get up there because – you know, the thing about the eastern United States compared to maybe around here, you know, you just don't have a lot of big towns, you know, throughout the eastern seaboard. Of course, you got Boston and all that, but just a lot of spread out little communities, you know, and there's just not a lot of good football up there. I mean, it's, you know, kids play lacrosse and play – they got a lot of other opportunities to play more sports than just football. So, but he's got a good quarterback, and last year they had a really good transfer tight end that was from Penn State. But I just think you can't give up 58 points and expect to win a game.
And then blame it on the officials.
Well, that's true. I mean, I really don't know enough about what happened with the officiating, but you just can't make that kind of statement about the officials after a game.
Stevie T emailed in. He's got a good stat here for you, Coach.
Uh-oh.
Between Georgia, Oklahoma, NC State, and Marshall, four schools of yours, they're a combined 17-1, and the one loss was Marshall losing to NC State. How about that?
It's a way to be on top of it, Stevie.
I know, yeah. That's just a
– did Marshall beat Western Kentucky last week? I thought they might have lost that game.
I thought, let's see, was that one where they won but didn't cover, or did Western Kentucky?
I never saw the end of that game. I'm sure it
was 20-17, and now I can't remember.
I'm sure Stevie's got it right, but yeah, all those teams are. You know, you look back and, like I said, you look back every week at some of the games where your old teams play, and
Marshall won 20-17.
So. That's good. 17-1. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
I don't know
too
how
bad.
Good NC State. The longer we talk, there's another team with a transfer quarterback. NC State's got that Dinwiddie kid from out there at Boise State, and then Marshall's got a transfer quarterback from FCS school. So there's a lot of transfer.
It might be easier to name schools that don't have a transfer quarterback.
That's right.
That's yeah. I mean, it's funny because Oregon actually doesn't have one this time. They have one of their own.
What do you think of that
guy?
He's
real
good.
Deal. Hey, when you can hit 24 out of 25 until the overtime, he was terrible against Stanford, but he had 24 out of 25 against Stanford.
Who does he think he is, Grayson Lambert?
And then last week he hit against Cal, he was on fire. I watched him against Cal in the late game after Ohio State. I was just trying to kind of gear down before I went to sleep, but I wanted to watch him again to see if that was an anomaly the week before. But he looked good against Cal. I mean, they got some speed. I don't like their uniforms, though. Have you looked at their numbers on their uniform? Look like they tape them on there with – but you got to do something different, I guess, every week. But
you know, we talk about –
how about Bobby Petrino for the call of the year?
Oh, that was just brutal.
You don't
brutal.
Call a pass with a minute and a half to go, first and 10. The other team got two timeouts, and you're on their 25-yard line.
Brutal.
Come on.
Brutal. Brutal. You know, I was going to ask you, we were talking about guys that might be potential number one overall picks next year, and they keep talking about the quarterback from Oregon might be, but how good is that lineman at Houston, Ed Oliver?
He's the real deal. Chris Selfo was the my line coach here, and he coached out at Houston last year. He's now at Charlotte, but he said you just can't block him in practice. He said he just so fast and so physical and so big. And he'll go pretty high. I mean, you look at all the D linemen going to be up there with all those Clemson guys and then Oliver. And this guy that I saw the other night for Ohio State's a freak, too, that Chase Young. Good Lord, what a player that guy is. I mean, watch that guy the rest of the year, Sam's Chase Young. I know I've said this before, but I like to say it. You know, you got guys in practice that disrupt the whole practice. You know what I mean? You're trying to get your team ready.
Like a David Pollack
kind of guy. Yeah, David Pollack plays 100 miles an hour. Josh Millard was like that here. You know, it makes everybody mad because you're trying to evaluate the other players, but he disrupts things so badly. And that's the way Tony Casillas was at Oklahoma at nose guard. I mean, back then you used to play a 3-4 defense, and the guy in the center would be – you know, after the ball was snapped, you hope you could just get the snap and then run the play and all. And we played against Jerome Brown from Miami, who was really another disruptive player, one of the best players I ever coached against. But Switzer used to say to Gary Gibbs, you know, and Switzer was in charge, that's for sure, but Gibbs kind of ran the defense. And he said, look, Gary, if you play Casillas in this scrimmage today, I'm not coming.
He said,
I don't want to watch that stuff.
Where was Casillas from?
He was from Tulsa.
Tulsa, okay.
He was a really good player, thick, and could compete, and had a great pro career. But
yeah, he was good.
We used to hold him out. I mean, just couldn't really run a practice because, you run in a wishbone, and back then we didn't run the gun any, and you snap the ball to quarterback, he'd knock you back into the fullback.
Would you agree, I talk about this with my buddies a lot, like when Stroud and Seymour came back for their senior years, probably wasn't their best, their most productive years, and we see these defensive linemen that came back for Clemson. Do you ever get asked where sometimes these guys come back and they're playing not
to
get hurt?
They worry about people getting on their legs and all, you know, that's definitely something that they don't, some of them maybe don't play with the abandon that they did before, but they got a lot to lose too, getting hurt with somebody, you know, playing around their legs and all that. But I wouldn't go that far to say that any of them, a whole lot's rather have them back, but sometimes they don't play quite as good because they're worried. And I can't blame them for that. I mean,
no, it's a tough situation.
You got to set up. And, you know, Seymour and Champ are up for the Hall of Fame. This year, Seymour just got into the South Carolina Hall of Fame last spring, which was a nice honor for him. And but anyhow.
And, you know, I didn't get to mention, too, this morning, but wanted to throw it out there, too, that Georgia's all-time leading tackler, Ben Zambezi, is going into the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. I didn't know if you ever ran into
Ben's
him much.
Yeah, Ben's a good guy. He was a guy that made a lot of plays for Georgia in that junkyard dog defense. Now, he's a good player.
And he was a 11-year player in Canada and was like a 6-time All-Star up there too.
Very deserving.
Yeah, so certainly happy for him.
Yeah, no question about that. It's, you know, it's always good to see, you know, those kind of things happen. You know, this weekend we'll have Hines Ward kind of with the ceremony where they'll kind of introduce him to the Ring of Honor or whatever. So that'll be cool too. And we all know what Coach Dotton thinks about Hines.
I guarantee you one thing, that guy right there, along with Kirby Smart, were two of the guys that really bought in to the program very quickly, which to me is always tough when you got a new coach. You know what I mean? The coach didn't recruit you. He didn't go, you know, and But the way these guys stood up for me early on, when things didn't go as good as they needed to early, and it's always a lot of comparisons and things like that, but both of them really did a good job of backing me. And I never will forget Hines coming into my office the first day, and my secretary Sharon said, "Hey, there's one of the players want to talk to you. And I said, "Sure." And it was Hines. And of course, everybody knows about Hines. I mean, I watched him in that game against Virginia, you know, where he played quarterback and had all that yardage. And he said, "Coach, I just want to tell you," he said, "you know, I've played a lot of positions here, and all I want to do is win, and I'll play wherever you want me to, but I want to make sure that once you put me there, that's where you keep me." I said, "Okay." I said, we'll evaluate it and talk about it." And then he said, "The other thing is," he said, "I need you to help me get my mother a job." He said, "I really want her to – she was, you know, working in cleaning up rooms and things, and he wanted to get her a more a job where she could have a lot better chance of not only make money but also have a, you know, better feeling about herself and self-esteem." And, you know, I didn't know a lot of people there, but we got her a good job. And there's nothing illegal about that. I mean, she earned her job, but – you know, hey, that was something that University of Georgia ought to be able to do. You know, that's why you coach here. And she was always very, very nice to me. A little bit, just like anybody that just first meeting you is always a little shy. But she loved her son, and she was so proud of Hines, and I am too. You look at what he's meant to University of Georgia, the representative he's been, and also the way he played in pro football. And a physically tough, tough kid that would knock your block off, make every play. There's a lot of difference between a guy that's a player that makes plays, and then there's a player that plays every snap. This guy was the epitome of it.
Greatest blocking wide receiver in history.
I'd have to say at least the toughest one. I don't know. He certainly did everything possible to help his team win, regardless of what level it was.
Coach, you got an email from Strap Dog.
Strapper!
Strapper, woof woof.
That's right.
He almost had the score right last week.
That's right. He said, "How much stock does Kirby put into the fact that the Sea Hillbillies," that's what he calls Vanderbilt.
The what?
"The Sea Hillbillies."
Because they're Commodores?
Because of the Commodores.
And the Anchors.
And the Anchor.
Yeah,
and
all that stuff.
He says, "How much fact does Kirby put into that they stole one here 2 years ago, and does their coaching staff still preach that fact that, you know, we came over here 2 years ago and won?"
Yeah, you know, I said something about it in the first hour that, you know, if you start talking to your team, you talk to them about laying the pipe for this week about, you know, hey, man, we want to live in the past, but we also want to understand that this team is capable. A lot of you were in the locker room, and you know how you felt after that game losing to them. Which we did lose to them, over 200 yards of kick returned and all that mistakes. They had less than 200 yards in the game, I think, total offense. But who cares? So the stock is based on experience. You know that these guys are capable of rising up and doing some things if you give them a chance. Don't give them a chance, though. You know, come out there smoking and take care of business and. That's what we'll do. That's a good question, but you learn from your experience. And the one thing I always told our team philosophically is deep down, when you play a team you're supposed to be, they don't really think they can beat you. But if you start getting in the game and you start worrying about, well, what are we doing? We're Georgia. We ought to be winning. You start playing tight. You got to keep that belief all the game that no matter what, as bad as it looks, we'll still find a way to beat this team, you know. And you can't let that doubt creep in.
The longer somebody stays with you,
right,
the more confidence they get.
They do, but you can't let that confidence in your own self diminish, saying, what in the world are we going to do? What's going to happen if Vanderbilt beats us? You know, I mean, you just can't let that thought enter your mind.
Tony was asking about Fields and playing more meaningful snaps, and he says, how does that affect how other teams have to spend time preparing for Georgia? And he also wanted to give a shout-out to Brian Herrien, who was really, really good in the fourth quarter on Saturday.
Yeah, I think as far as preparation, it definitely makes you understand that you've got to be careful on your backside pursuit. You got to can't over pursue the ball with this guy's ability to keep it. You've got to be in your rush lanes and be careful about taking shots at coming after him and playing man coverage, because he breaks the line of scrimmage, it's all over. So that preparation is something that enhances our team, because they have to spend time on it. But realistically, the major difference is, though, we don't really change our offense when Fields comes in there. It's still a Jake Fromm-oriented offense. We don't run a lot of plays that are set up for quarterback runs like a lot of teams, like you watch Central Florida and some of these spread teams. We're most of his runs come off broken plays or, you know.
Well, after what happened to Trevor Lawrence, do you think a lot of teams are going to have to try to?
Yeah, I mean, you just can't play scared. Yeah. You got to be. That was on a broken play where he scrambled and, you know, he just got hit in the head. But as far as the prep, that definitely they got to worry about that. But I think Kirby and Coach Chaney and Coach Coley and Coach Johnson, who are all involved with the quarterbacks, have really done a good job of utilizing that ability, although they haven't shown Fields passing yet, which he's thrown a little bit, you know, in the non-conference games. But he really is a talented passer. And I think the fact that Fromm's had a little bit of slow start in some of these conference games, he's got to start picking it up a little bit there early, you know, and I'm sure he will.
Well,
did he say something else?
I was going to say Kirby had said yesterday about Fields. Oh, he was saying about Brian Harrion in the fourth.
Oh, Harrion, hey, the guy's just needs a chance. I mean, it's hard to get on the field with those other two, but he showed you the little fresh legs there at the end, and he's always been a quick back. You know, he got 80 yards against South Carolina, 2 years ago over there. He's always had that quickness to jump around and make a guy miss. And I think he's a role player that can come in there. He does a good job on special teams, too. He really does a good job of being a team player for us.
All right, we come back. We'll go around the country.
Let's go get it.
We'll see what's going on.
I'm anxious to break these games down.
Got a bunch of games. We'll do national and SEC games when we come back.
All right, 9:33 back on the morning show. We are presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Sam Franco, David Johnston, and Coach Donnan along with you here. Thank you so much for joining us. Time to dive in to the slate of games around the country this weekend.
It's always a fun time.
Can't wait.
Jim Boeheim,
use those timeouts.
That was great, Coach. You want to let's just start at the top 10. Let's kind of work our way down. Alabama's going to Arkansas. That's a big number. 35's the number there, and
not enough.
Yeah, that's
Arkansas played pretty good against A&M, but I don't think A&M's anything to write home. But I think right now Alabama's on cruise control. Just got so many players and so many talented kids. Still worried a little bit about their kicking game, but that's they've had a hard time with their punting and their place kicking. But they got. They got it on a roll over there, Roll Tide. But I think Arkansas is looking at hopefully beating Tulsa, and I don't know who else they're going to be able to beat.
Not too many wins on the schedule for them. Ohio State's a big favorite against Indiana. So.
What's the line?
Let's see here. The line would be,
19?
We didn't even – did we play 25?
Yeah.
25.
Where's that game? Bloomington?
No. It's at the Shoot. It's 4:00, Indiana. Although, you know, you could say, well, this could be a letdown game for Ohio State after coming off the big win over Penn State, but that's a buyer beware game there. What about Clemson going to Wake Forest? That's not going to be easy, is it? Especially with the situation.
Wake Forest on a one-game winning streak with their new defensive coordinator.
That's right.
But Wake Forest has got a freshman quarterback that can rock and roll. I mean, a kick and throw, but he's going to get physically pounded by that defensive front. And I think Clemson understands you just can't be teetering on the brink as much as they have this year against A&M and against Syracuse. I think they'll get after the Demon Deeks.
All right, in Gainesville Saturday afternoon, Coach O just got off the phone with JoJo trying to get some tips. So LSU in Florida, very intriguing.
You know, any way you look at it, you go on the road in this league, particularly a team that's got a lot of juice right now. Everybody wants Florida to be better than they are. You know, they're fired up about Mullen, the fact they got that good road win. And the loss to Kentucky doesn't look as bad now when you look at what Kentucky's done. But it's showtime for the Tigers. I mean, you know, they did win the game on the neutral side against Miami, but and they won a big road game. Probably had two of the biggest wins against top teams of anybody in the country at this point.
Yeah.
So, but it's showtime for them to see if they're the real deal, in my opinion. And they're going to put a lot of pressure on Burrow and do what they can. But I'd be surprised if LSU doesn't win this game.
LSU is the 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Florida's shown no offense this year. Yeah. I mean, they did against Tennessee with all the turnovers. But, you know, 13 points last week, didn't score but one touchdown against Kentucky. I think they're struggling offensively.
What about Virginia Tech hosting Notre Dame?
Well, I thought Virginia Tech came back from the dead last week with a big win over Duke. You know, Duke was a favorite in that game. And I really thought Duke could beat Virginia Tech, but a lot of pride up there. They're going to unveil a new stadium statue for Coach Beamer, who very much deserves it. It's going to be, that's a tough place to play, but I think Notre Dame's made this move at quarterback. This Booker kid's, Bookie, he's doing a great job. I mean, they look very explosive right now.
Fans of the college football playoff that don't want to see Notre Dame in it need to be pulling hard for Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
this
weekend. I don't see any after this week. It's going to be hard for them to lose a game, but you know they could screw it up. But they got a good shot at it now.
What do you think about Auburn going to Mississippi State Saturday night?
You know, Auburn really continues to. I think the fact they had that weather delay hurt them a little bit, but just their offense has just been really missing Kerryon Johnson. They got no running game threat at this point. Their defense is salty, though. I mean, scary good athletically up front. I mean, a lot like Clemson, you know, big, strong, physical guys. You know, this could be a low-scoring game, but it looks to me like I don't know where Mississippi State's going to get the offense to win that.
Yeah, Auburn's a 3-point favorite. I'll tell you what just seemed like an afterthought game before the season started is now ESPN 7 o'clock game with Kentucky at Texas A&M.
How about those Wildcats? I mean, this really have been very impressive. Started out the season, I know the first game, they were down to Central Michigan like 14-0 in the first half. And I said, here we go again, Wildcats. But since that point, they've been very dominating. And I watched the whole game last week because I wanted to get a good feel for them. But they got a good scheme. I mean, they do some good things. Eddie Grant's offensive coordinator, has a background with Tuberville, you know, coaching with him. And he also coached at Florida State some with Jimbo. But the guy's always been like a special teams guy, but now he's coaching the offense. But they really like to run the football. Benny Snell Jr., good, powerful back. And as we mentioned in the first hour, this Wilson kid transfer who started out at Oregon and then went to JUCO is very athletic. They do some good things on defense, and the kicking game solid. I think it'll be a Donnybrook, that's for sure. But, you know, Kentucky, to me, looks a little bit better than A&M at this point.
Are you surprised that Kentucky's just like about face kind of switch from being an air raid, throw it around ball team to, I mean, obviously you want to play to your strengths and Benny Snell is their strength, but I mean, they've completely turned it around from, you know, flinging the ball around the yard to, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of.
Yeah, I think it was just a situation where they first got in there, they weren't very good on defense and they need to get have a really good offense. They hired Neil Brown as their offensive coordinator, and he left and went to Troy as the head coach. And he had that air raid background. And, you know, I think they were trying to, when they look at when Kentucky was good with Coach Mummy up there and Mike Leach, offensive coordinator, they were throwing the ball around and people were liking to watch them play. But now that their defense is really good enough, they don't need to have that outscore people. They just playing, like you said, to play around their defense. And they're really – really effective with this, what they do. I mean, they really major in setting up the defense. Like the other night, they had this play where they ran a quick pitch several times to Snell out of the gun, where the quarterback would just take it and shuffle it over there. And then, you know, two or three plays later, they faked that and then threw the slant in behind it. I mean, they really orchestrated some really good plays. I thought that they did a good job of – and it could have been a lot worse in that game if they would have scored a couple of times when they were in the red zone. I mean, they had them 24-0 at one point.
So is Kentucky going to lose for the first time this year on Saturday? Texas A&M going to beat them?
I'm going with Kentucky to win that game. Wow. Just because I don't think A&M is that great on defense. I do think their offense is good. I really like that Mon. But, I mean, if you can't beat Arkansas any worse than they did, I worry about their how good they are.
Especially after they jumped on Arkansas early. It was 14-0. They took back the opening kickoff and then just sputtered.
Right. But that's an emotional game. You know, they play that game in Arlington every year. I mean, it's just
I heard Brain talking about the Alabama letdown. It's like the week after you play Alabama, there's a letdown. There may be something to that, you know, talking about Texas A&M.
It's not so much a letdown as you just got the
Beat up.
Yeah, I mean, you physically.
Yeah.
It's more like a Bayer aspirin letdown.
Yeah, I mean, probably you're right. There is something to that. It's not just a thing that somebody thought up.
I think everybody needs to look. The next time you watch a game, just look at the physicality of how those guys look on Alabama's defense and our defense, and say, you know, anybody saying, well, you know, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Hey, you go over and block that guy. Or you, I mean,
yeah.
Seriously, I mean, we got some good-looking guys on the hoof just like Alabama.
Coach, Missouri and South Carolina, the battle for Columbia. This one's in South Carolina where the Gamecocks are a two-point favorite.
You know, I think Bentley's health is going to be a lot to do with that game. You know, I just think they rise and fall on his ability. And if he, you know, he's not able to go, you got to think the Tigers from Missouri got a good shot. Although they never have played that great in Columbia. They play good in Columbia, Missouri, but Columbia, South Carolina is a different situation. So I'm not that sold on Missouri's defense, but I feel like if Emmanuel Hall is ready to go, which he wasn't against us, if that wide receiver's ready with that tight end, I think they can really smoke South Carolina's defense.
Talking to a couple of my buddies up in South Carolina, they're all excited about, you know, they're kind of done with Bentley, and they're ready to see the Helinski kid coming in, the one whose brother
He's a freshman.
He'll be in next year.
Yeah, no, I think Bentley takes some undue heat just because he handles the ball every play. I mean, they don't have a running game.
Yeah.
And you just expect him to do everything. But I heard you guys talking about who the coaches are going to be in 2020. And, you know, things got to start picking up for them over there. I think he certainly got another year after this. But you got to beat Clemson in South Carolina. And right now he's 0-5 against them. And I don't see – I mean, Clemson and
Georgia. Yeah, that's
and,
what I've been saying.
And I think you look at next year, I don't see them making that big a move. Although they've gotten some good defensive players from the state of South Carolina the last couple of years. They got that kid from Anderson committed that's coming in there. And
he's
then they just got the kid that transferred from Clemson. So, you know, their defense has got to keep getting better, that's for sure.
All right, Friday night, Tech's playing Louisville. And we got an email from Keith and Winder that says, how much longer will Tech stick with Paul Johnson? If they made a change, would it be a situation like Nebraska where the new coach would have to recruit an entire new offense?
Yeah, I think that's something you always look at. You know, although they always have some pretty good skill receivers, but their linemen are different types than what you have. And then I don't know about that. I mean, Johnson's done some really good things, but the last year and a half, 2 years, I mean, they're like 3-9 in their last 12 games. And, you know, they played Bowling Green last week. But that's going to be a real pillow fight this week, Louisville and the Texters. But
is it a thing in recruiting? Sorry, Sam, but is it a thing in recruiting that it's in his offense, it's hard to recruit defensive players because they don't want to practice against that all the time?
I think some of that's true, but what you use against them without negative recruiting is say, hey, if you're a D lineman, how are you going to learn and train to rush the passer? I mean, you want to play pro football, you never go against the pass in practice, and you're a defensive back, you never play the pass in practice. So how are you going to increase your skills? So You don't see them getting a lot of elite defensive players just because of that thing in itself.
Would Jeff Monken maybe be a name? Like if they were to get rid of Paul Johnson.
I just can't see him going back to.
That's the thing.
You would think that they would never make, system-wise, I would think people are blaming a lot of their lack of success in the offense. Although up until this year has always been the kicking game in the defense, but this year their offense has been up and down for sure. I mean, really not a whole lot from their offense. But
I guess just in terms of an easy transition.
It would be an easier transition, no question, because Munkin coached there and coached at Georgia Southern, and then the coach at Kennesaw State was there too.
Bohannon.
Brian Bohannon. But let's see how they finish out the year. They got a tough schedule, but he's got a big buyout. I mean, he just signed a new contract this year. But
by the way, they're favored at Louisville by 3.5. Tech is.
Well, you know what? That's one weird. That's one that I wouldn't want to pick, and I don't think they'll get a lot of people watching that game. Do you?
We'll be watching it Friday night, won't we? We'll have it
what
on the TV at about 7:00.
We might. Maybe there might be some good golf on.
Yeah, because I didn't see any this past weekend.
Yeesh.
Oh, man.
All right, Coach, before we let you go, a couple of minutes here.
I don't want Jim Furyk picking my team anymore, that's for sure.
I say keys to the win, just make sure the bus gets to the stadium, but that's not fair to say.
I think Tuesday right here, one of the things we can talk about keys, I think preparation against the team that you're supposed to beat, how you prepare is so vital, because if you know what to do and you're not confused and you're athletically better, you're going to do a good job. But if all of a sudden you kind of flip-flop around and you don't do a good job of getting ready, and then you not only make the physical mistakes but you make mental mistakes, then that compounds things. So we've been a very disciplined team. We've had some penalties, that's for sure, but overall we're not that heavily penalized. I think just we made a bad mental mistake the other day and cost us a touchdown. We're playing three-man rush with five under man, and they did a good job. So if everybody would just visualize it, you go to a slot formation, and usually the wide receiver is the outside guy, and the back, it shifts up as the slot. But they switched them around and put the wide receiver as the inside guy and put the back as the outside guy. And our corner didn't adjust. He stayed on the back, and that made our linebacker be man against who was Taylor against their wide receiver, which is a mismatch.
Yep.
And we had a safety over the top, but he didn't get over there quick enough. So that mental mistake was as big. You got to give them credit for their call that they flipped them around, but we got to be smart enough to figure that out too. But that's just the fact you got a young guy playing. But I would say that. And then the other thing is, let's get some explosive plays here. You know, we got to get some. You know, we didn't make many big long plays the other day. That's the thing that our team needs to do. And overall, I feel good about our team. Need to get the momentum going into that Tiger game next week, and we'll have some good. I think we'll even have Coach Ogeron come in the studio next week.
Is he gonna bring JoJo with him?
He's gonna bring JoJo, and he's gonna ride in here in this Hummer, and it'll be good. But I can tell you one thing. When we go down there to play those Florida Gators, they better buckle up their chin straps, because here comes the Tigers.
Go Tigers. All right. Yeah, by the way, Georgia's longest rush on Saturday against Tennessee was 16 yards, and longest pass play was 23 yards. So you're spot on there, Coach, about needing some more, explosive plays.
Yeah, and hey, one of my friends from Milwaukee said, how about those Brewers? Come on, man. Brewers are in it, that's for sure. And the Cubs got to win to play them again, right?
That's right. The Brewers wait for the Rockies-Cubs winner tonight. So they play this evening.
One thing about it, you got it at baseball down. Between you and Sam and Dantzler and Brame, y'all got that baseball a lot better. What do you think about the Braves' chances?
50-50.
Way to go out on a limb.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think the Dodgers will win the series, but,
it's good for the Braves, though.
But
man,
it's still been
year.
A great season.
It's a big year for them.
But you know what? Postseason baseball is the strangest one.
Yep.
Where the weirdest stuff can happen, so who knows?
How about that Falcon defense?
Oh, what Falcon defense?
Yeah. Coach, great to see you. Catch you
all
again
right,
on
see
Friday.
You Friday night, Blind Pig. Hope we get a lot of people. Hey, I need to get the way to get downtown where the homecoming parade. You got to give me a helicopter in there.
No kidding. We'll see if we can borrow Kirby's. See if we can get over there. Thanks, Coach. Yep.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.